You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks. Listening to this, and we talk about Kung Fu Elliot, which is one of the movies we're talking about. Go fucking see it tonight.
Yes, we are going to talk about this movie.
Exactly.
We're I would say very nice things about it.
I dare say, if you are excited by what you hear about Kung Fu Elliot in the pre-spoiler section, fucking go see it tonight.
Don't listen to this. This is the chance to not get spoiled on this movie.
Do not listen to the spoilers. Yeah. Like, I very rarely will be like, don't listen to part of the podcast, but do not listen to the spoilers if you sound like Kung Fu Elliot when we talk about it. Sounds like something good, because there are spoilers that we do want to talk about.
The other one we saw was Dead Snow.
Dead Snow 2.
Versus Dead.
Correct.
Dead Snow 2.
Yes.
The extremely thrilling Nazi and Soviet zombie.
And funny.
Combat zombie movie.
Combat comedy.
Yeah.
A lot of comedy. Anyway.
Do you want to talk about Dead Snow first? Or
yeah, we can do Dead Snow first.
Yeah, I want to save Kung Fu Elliot. So, I hit it, bud.
So, follow up to, I guess, sort of a bit of a sleeper hit from a couple years back, Dead Snow.
2009? 2010? It's a couple years back.
It's been a few years ago.
Yep.
A little bit of this kind of an out-of-nowhere movie that obviously had a lot of hype because it was people who went up to a cabin in the woods and fought zombies, but twist.
Nazi zombies.
Nazi zombies who were also, like, organized and very...
Could talk, kind of.
Could kind of talk, had a leader, and could run and stuff. So
yeah.
Fast, strong. They were much more mystical zombies.
Also, they were back in the first one, even. They were back after their Nazi gold that accidentally got pillaged by the kids.
Yeah.
So, like, they were the zombies with a mission.
Yeah.
Which also is a bit of a twist on the usual zombie
thing. Yeah, exactly.
Thing.
Yeah. Right, but not so much of a twist when you look into the
classic
weird...
zombies.
But not just classic zombies, but also the weird occult shit that the Nazis did totally fucking look into, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's all these stories of, like, crazy occult stuff that the Nazis... looked into to see if anything was real.
You know,
I
really wonder how much of that is historically accurate and how much of it is Indiana Jones and other stuff like that.
I don't know. It comes out a lot.
It does.
It does come out a lot, and I really feel that, like, if you're sitting there in the 1940s and you have unlimited resources and you're trying to fight the entire planet, you'd at least expend a little bit of those resources to be like, hey, is magic a thing? Because that would really
that would
help us in this fight.
That would be really good right now.
Exactly. So,
there's
a bit of a logic.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so yeah, Dead Snow, super fun. And now this is the follow-up, which just takes a lot of the themes of Dead Snow and just, like, cranks it up. So instead of taking place with a small group of, I think, like, six or seven kids, whatever, it's now the Nazi zombies. Basically, this is a minor reveal, want to kill an entire town because that was also part of their mission.
Right.
And
since
these are mystical zombies, they're sort of, they're trying to continue that mission.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of a little group of people, it's now an entire town.
Yep.
And pretty much in the first couple seconds, it turns out that the hero, or the only survivor, I guess.
Of the first film.
Of the first film, also gets a zombie arm attached to him, and that's a major plot point, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that he has to fight zombies. And then, I mean, Red vs. Dead, it's in the title, and it's in the trailer.
Yeah.
He can resurrect zombies. And
with his zombie arm.
With his zombie arm.
Yep.
And then some Americans show up, led by Martin Starr.
Yeah.
They're hilarious. Mostly. Martin Starr's hilarious, the girls say.
Yeah, but they were very funny.
They were very funny. And, yeah, the whole entire thing is just the comedy is way up from the first one. Like, there's almost nothing, I would say, expressly... Other than jump scares, there's nothing scary about this one.
Yeah, I was going to say that's, like, the biggest change for me is that this is, like, straight up a comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But an incredibly violent comedy.
Yeah.
Like, with...
Super gruesome. Babies, old people, everybody gets murdered.
Children.
Yeah,
like
children.
Children, a child... This is, I guess, it's a spoiler. I don't even want to spoil this.
Don't say the details.
I'm not going to spoil this until the spoiler section.
Uh-huh.
But exactly, like, children die, old people die.
Yeah.
Fucking
no punches are pulled.
Yeah, exactly. Just the zombies kill whoever happens to be in their way, as they would.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really funny.
Kung Fu Elliot.
Also really, really funny.
Super. Oh yeah, also really funny.
And dark. It gets, there's moments.
We're talking about Kung Fu Elliot here?
Yeah.
Super dark. So it is the tale of a Nova Scotia man. This is a documentary, so this is all a true story, all real people.
Mm-hmm.
A Nova Scotia man who is a Canadian Kung Fu expert. He,
karate expert.
Karate, you're right. Yes. It was karate. He is excellent, or he's been making like indie films,
mm-hmm.
and the documentarians follow him during the creation of his new film, Blood Fight.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got an Asian girlfriend who's like his producer, mm-hmm. film girl, whatever. Mm-hmm. She does all kinds of things. She's like key to the story.
Lucy Lum, I believe.
Lucy, yeah, I'm looking for her name right now. I think it was Lucy.
I think it's Lucy Lum, I believe.
And so this, I don't want to spoil nothing about this thing, but mm-hmm. the documentarians just follow around this guy, making his movie, introduce him to his mm-hmm. friends. You get to know a little bit about his life, his trip to China.
Yep.
And where this starts off as a normal, heartwarming kind of thing, it gets really dark, really strange.
Okay. You say normal or heartwarming. Almost right away.
You're rooting for this guy. Right at the start, sure.
You're not necessarily rooting for him, but you're like, you take pity on him. You're just sort of like you see like that he's filming most of his movies with like literally like a camera, like for snap photos.
That has like a film.
That has like a video feature. Yeah. Film is too big of a word. It has a video feature. It can take videos. It can't film, you know? And it's like, and he's like doing all these little setups. They show some footage of his previous movies. Like, You Killed My Girlfriend and My Cat, I think is one of them. And then like Soldier Hero or whatever is like another one. Like, these are just awful. And you're just sort of like, you're not really rooting for him. At least I wasn't. I was like, you just have kind of like pity on this guy. You're like, oh man, maybe he should stop.
I totally identified with this guy. He's like, he wanted to work on his little projects and he just like, he got his friends together and did it. You know, I think there's something nice about that.
I suppose. But it's very evident very early on that there's not a lot of success coming out. Although he does say that he like...
sold 10,000 copies.
Yeah, exactly. Like total video sales. Yep. Or like he goes around to all these little vocal video stores in Nova Scotia and like individually...
Hands them copies, gets his posters up there.
Yeah. You can rent them, and he's like, "Oh, these are fun movies on a Friday and whatever." And like his company's name is even Bad Acting Good Kung Fu is the name of his company.
Legit, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like,
and he's just, you know, he seems to take himself pretty seriously, but not too seriously.
Right.
You know, like he's like, "I'm just gonna do what I can."
The other documentary that was thrown around often in association with this one is American Movie,
right?
Which we both saw, and. Yeah. Is it apt, you think?
It's a little apt, except for, I mean, like, this is really hard to get into without spoiling things.
Yeah.
In American Movie, the guys seem at least, like, a little bit aware that they're, like, living a pipe dream, uh-huh. whereas Elliot kind of doesn't.
Yeah.
He does not have very much wherewithal to be, like, this is a pipe dream.
I don't know, man. At the start of the movie, I read that as his, like... His like vim, his inescapable energy that he invests into his project, you know, and that like positivity in the face of overwhelming negativity, that's part of what endeared him to me so strongly at the start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. So who would you recommend Dead Snow to?
Anybody who liked Dead Snow, obviously. Actually, though, but with a slight caveat that it does play for laughs a lot harder than Dead Snow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, I guess the comparison is just sort of like if you compare Army of Darkness to Evil Dead.
That's perfectly said. That's exactly what happens here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Also, the budget goes up just like Evil Dead 2 to,
exactly.
Army of Darkness.
I'm going to give a shout out to that Gabrielle girl who was, she was just sort of like, I don't know if I want to see it. And I was like, okay, so there were Nazi zombies. And now the main character from the first one can summon
an army of
communist
zombies
and they're going to fight. Either that sounds amazing to you, or it sounds like you do not care about this whatsoever.
Right.
Like, if it sounds amazing to you, it delivers on all fronts. If you're like, that sounds stupid, don't see it because that's the fucking movie. Like, there is not anything else to be had in the film.
But... like, if you expected the horror, like we said this like 100 times, don't go for the horror. Go for the laughs.
Yeah.
They're there, though. It's very funny. All the way through, it's funny. But get ready also for the violence. There's going to be lots and lots of gory shit.
Right.
And little kids getting killed.
Kung Fu Elliot?
American Movie
is a great comparison.
Yeah.
If you liked American Movie. Same thing, too. What was that other movie? I believe it was called, like, Superheroes or whatever else.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. That was the one, the people who dress up as superheroes down in Santa Monica
exactly.
or whatever. Yeah.
Like, these, like, kind of, like, lovable loser documentaries.
Yes.
Are, like, if you like that sort of thing, you can definitely get into Kung Fu Elliot. Yeah. However...
This matters. I think I know where you're going with this. I'm going to interrupt you because I know I'm going to say it. Okay. There's a point about like a half hour in where it slows down and you're like, why am I even watching this? This is just an okay story. I know where this is going. This is no problem. And then at about minute 45, the twist starts to slowly creep in.
Yeah.
And you've been getting hints about it the whole way through since the start. And they all start – you start putting them together very slowly. And it's like minute 45 or minute 50. You're like, oh, my God. And the whole thing changes, and this is one of the best documentaries I've seen in all my time.
So this is really, really interesting.
Was I right? That was what you were going to do?
Yeah, basically. Yep. What's really, really interesting is that, and I guess we're going to plug the Go Plug Yourself. That's probably going to happen, I think, tomorrow.
Okay.
Where Walter and I are sitting down with some of the filmmakers, and they've agreed to sit down for like a full Go Plug Yourself hour.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, you can come, I guess. And,
maybe I will.
And
just
sit
listen.
There.
I'll do it.
You
I'll
can remind
it.
Us of things.
This was good enough to want to do that.
Yeah, and... Heavily, heavily recommend this movie, and if you did go see it, listen to our talk with the filmmakers tomorrow.
Yeah.
But Walter, while he's trying to watch it, he watched it over a number of days.
Really?
So he was only watching it like 20, 30 minutes while he was getting ready to go. So it was kind of interesting because over a number of days, he was like, he had that moment. He's like, okay, well, I don't get it. He's like a goofy filmmaker.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I think I'm getting to the twist part that you talked about.
Yeah.
And he's like, was this and this? I was like, keep watching. And then he came back like the next day. He was like, holy shit, I was not at the twist part. Like, he's like, I thought I was at the twist part.
You were not.
And then it just gets so much crazier.
Yeah.
And then like he finally finished watching it and he was like, holy fuck, what the fuck was with that ending?
Yeah.
So
I can't recommend this enough. This was like if you don't see a lot of documentaries that are about people, the real people.
Yeah.
This is, you got to go see this. This was so much fun. It was like a Canadian story. I'm in love with this movie.
But yeah, that's it. But that's what I'm saying. But those are the sections of the movie. You're like, you're watching it. You're like, why am I watching it? You're like, oh, I think, oh, okay, this is kind of crazy. And then you're like, no, this is way crazier. And then you watch the ending and you're like, this is
it. Yeah.
This is fucking happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, like huge, huge, huge praise for Kung Fu Elliot.
Absolutely.
If you're a fan of a documentary or if you're just even a fan of...
If you want a good human story.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And the cast of characters are about as interesting as you could get between Elliot himself, his
right-hand
girlfriend,
man,
his bestie, all that shit. You want to hit spoilers?
I do.
These are the spoilers.
Let's just do God's Not Really Quick. I don't have anything to spoil in this movie. Like they, okay, there's zombies.
Yeah.
They get a tank.
Yep, zombies in the tank. Martin Starr I fucking thought a lot of his lines were just hilarious. Like his dumb fucking Neo trench coat, like his sneakers.
It was so good.
So good. Yeah. I was not a big fan of the Star Wars girl.
It's been done. But
yeah, it's been done a little bit. Maybe it hasn't been done in Norway.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe. And here's the spoiler that kind of bums me out.
Yeah.
Is that all three American characters survive.
Yeah.
And I was just like, ugh. I mean, they play it fucking fast and loose with a lot of characters. Like
tons of characters you think are going to live, just die.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Like, they establish this little kid right at the beginning, and it seems like he's going to be this dude because he's like this little spunky kid, and then
gets murdered.
Gets horribly murdered. You know? And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they play it fucking fast and loose with all these fucking characters, but somehow the three Americans who rightfully do feel a little stapled into the film, like in terms of like this is a Norwegian crazy film, and now it's suddenly their English characters being American.
Yep.
I don't think they ruin anything.
Mm-hmm.
Although it is kind of weird that they switch back and forth. Like you think that the English characters showed up and now they're all going to be talking English and this is to get a wider market, but then
Norwegian, they go back into Norwegian.
The Norwegian cops only ever speak Norwegian to each other. Like it's very strange when I think about it. I'm like that they made that choice. Have like entire scenes in English, then entire scenes in Norwegian, and then entire scenes in English.
Maybe it just speaks about the bilinguality of Norway.
Maybe
people there just speak English a lot. Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Definitely. Anyway, so that's a bit of a spoiler that I was not. Like you kind of want everybody to have an equal chance of just dying randomly.
Yeah. You know, it didn't bother me that much. One of those girls should have died, but what? You know, it's such like a minor foible with an otherwise hilarious, well put together.
Also,
like
the epilogue.
Yeah.
To the tune of Total Eclipse.
Oh my god,
heart.
That was so good.
You're just sort of like,
describe the whole scene. It was so amazing.
So you watch this entire movie, and then they saved the day. Essentially, they stopped Herzog, the bad guy from the first one.
Yeah.
All the zombies are dead, and. But what's his name? The main character guy, Martin.
Martin.
Yeah. Martin still has a zombie arm
that can resurrect,
that
zombies.
Can bring back the dead. And he's obviously like heavily lamenting. There's a number of things, because this takes place like a day or two after the events of Dudsnow 1.
Right.
And he's currently wanted for murder of all the people from Dudsnow.
Right, because the police showed up, found five bodies, and then this guy was alive, and they're like, well, he murdered
including
everybody.
Including fingerprints on an axe that he chopped. Remember, because the girlfriend came up behind him.
Yeah, they mentioned it right at the start.
Yeah, so he's like looking at newspapers of this girl and whatever, and then he goes to the church, and I was like, oh fuck, he's gonna resurrect his girlfriend, and the whole entire time it's like, turn around every now and then, and it's like such a slow scene. Pulls up to the church,
turn around,
gets like the shovel, digs her up, busts open the casket,
turn around,
drags her up. She's like very decomposed, and you have like this moment is like, is he or isn't he? Because he's like almost like a little bit of repulsion that he's decomposed, but then like the power of love, fucking so like he touches
every
her.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Touches her face,
and I need you now.
She resurrects. She's like, and then there's again a moment of hesitation, and then it's like turn. And then they start making out. And then
amazing.
It cuts to the car, and you see like zombie hand pressed against the window, and he's just fucking his zombie girlfriend, and.
Yeah.
Then his little minion friend shows up. His minion friend who continually gets killed, and he just
keeps resurrecting.
It just gets fucking back.
Oh, that final scene was so good, glorious,
amazing.
Yep. So let's talk about Kung Fu Elliot.
Here's
the twist: he is a gigantic liar.
He's an asshole liar.
He's an asshole, self-interested. Completely makes up all of his karate skills.
Yep.
Completely makes up all of his like
backstory.
His backstory. He lies continually about his history, his family, his past relationships, the living or dead status of his ex-wife.
Yep.
The like he abuses people. He goes to he has this girlfriend who loves him, who does everything for him.
Yeah.
Who
and
like
so many,
houses him.
So many sad
him.
Sad scenes.
Yeah.
With her, like where they're trying to do the cop scene, and she's just like at the little kid table, and like you're why the fuck is she putting up with it? And then you realize and like they talk about it. She was in like a 17-year relationship that went south, so she's just this like lonely woman.
Yeah.
But that this asshole is like better than being alone.
Yeah.
Like that's the relationship,
it's
and
so
you're like,
dark.
Oh my god.
And he goes to hookers.
To film, air quotes, movies.
Yeah.
Like, and his fucking buddy who's into fetishes covers for him. And you're just like, oh my god. Like, I had a tweet conversation a little bit back and forth between the distributors. And I'm like, do you think, like, he's like Canada's like Jean-Claude Van Damme? And I was like, I really don't think so. You know, like, I really, really doubt it. And that's like, I feel really, really terrible talking about this as a spoiler, but I also know that it's probably not going to get the biggest distribution.
Yeah,
so that like, maybe if you don't know the spoiler, you won't go out and see it. And I really, really want you to go out and
see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not just what the trailer says. Like, I understand why the trailer doesn't
reveal this
because it's fucking like a slap in the face when it happens, and then it's like again and again.
Yeah, it gets worse. Like you start to get a sense of the lies that he's telling. You're like, oh man, this guy's an asshole. And then another scene happens, opening up a new layer to the assholeness of this man. And then you're like, oh, this is a horrible person. And then the next scene happens, and you're like, he's a monster.
Exactly. That's it. And that is not portrayed in the trailers
not at all.
Which makes it better.
Yep.
When you see it,
absolutely.
However, I also feel that it also kind of makes it almost where you might want to dismiss it when you really, really don't.
Yeah.
Like, where if you're watching the trailers, and like I said, watching the movie, and like I said, there's that moment, like,
half
30,
hour,
30 40, 40
minutes
where, like, okay, I get it. He makes shitty movies. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like,
why am I still here?
Is he going to
get
him?
You give it 10 more minutes, and then you're gonna
and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think it was masterful how they put that together, because, like, it was you who said that, Walter said that, a bunch of different people that we talked to were all like, yeah, you're like, this is normal. I don't care about any of this. Why am I watching this?
Like,
oh.
You're like, I have friends who make shitty movies. You know, and you're like, who the fuck gives a shit? And then you're like, whoa, this is like really bad. And I kind of like, I'm really interested to talk to these guys.
Yeah.
Because they're like, one of the things that they reveal right at the end is that like, he is not even like registered member of like Karate Canada, despite the fact that he says that he like,
he's a 7-time national champion
or whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you're just sort of like, it's, they obviously knew some of his bullshit.
Like, yeah, like how early in the process did they know how bad a liar this
yeah,
guy
exactly,
was?
That's it. And then they sort of, like, I guess they must have saved some footage or whatever.
Yeah,
and, like, and it just, like, it was, like, a really, it's, like, it makes a better story, obviously, because you don't want to just, like, bust out, be, like, he never did karate in the first, like, 2 minutes. Because you're, like, you have this whole time, like, thinking back and forth, like, you see him do karate and you're, like, he doesn't look very good at karate.
Whatever. Maybe he's just trying to make his co-actors look better not doing like really good moves or whatever. That scene where he was in the Shaolin temple and they were like, why don't you kick? And he like does this really shitty kick and the like Shaolin monk is like, how often do you practice?
Yeah, he's like 45 minutes a day or whatever. Yeah. The guy's like, nope.
That was great, yeah.
Go see this film.
Go see this film, guys.
Wait, we need to tag up real quick. Because there was a short film that we forgot to mention called Goat Witch.
Oh, Goat Witch! Damn it! If only we could move this to the start of the
It's fine. Yeah. If you've stuck around for
Guys, get ready for Goat Witch.
Goat Witch is a short film about a witch who decides to
summon a demon
to fuck it, I guess, and then become a demon woman at the same time. And it's basically like masterfully executed version of that movie you wrote when you were 15 and listened to heavy metal.
And really wanted to get chicks naked and paint it up.
All the chicks get naked.
And on the screen, and they got to get naked, and it's going to be artsy, ladies.
But it's not even really artsy. It just looks like it could be a heavy metal music video.
Yeah.
So I cannot recommend Goat Witch enough.
When it started, so like this one chick is doing this like witchy ritual, and then her friend shows up, and she's like, hey, why are you late? And she's like, get your clothes off. And I started smiling, and I did not stop smiling for the next 15 minutes.
And the filmmaker was also delightful.
He was awesome.
Sizemore.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. And also his little caption at the end being like, all the actors in this movie are real, this really happened, magic is real and it's really dangerous as fuck.
Yeah.
Super good.
High five, Mr. Sizemore.
Exactly, all practical effects. Yeah. Pretty solid makeup, pretty solid little effects.
Yeah, the climbing out of the ground shit, that was great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
A+, Goat Witch.
Well done, Goat Witch. On that delightful note.
We don't know what we're going to see.
Really?
At some point, there's going to be Wolf Cop.
We're going to see Bloody Knuckles in like an hour.
Oh, yeah. We're going to see Bloody Knuckles.
After that,
Wolf Cop is going to probably happen.
Yeah.
Bros Before Hoes is probably going to happen.
You're talking about movies that we're going to be at Oceaga for.
I feel like we can figure this out. Yeah. We're media, bro.
I know. Well.
Enjoy the festival, everybody.
Yay.
Hey guys, it's me again. Just a quick reminder, 9to5.cc is a fan-made, fan-supported website. That means we don't have any sort of an advertising budget. The only way we really have to get our name out there is by our fans sharing us, liking us, and supporting us. So if you enjoy what we're doing, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're there. Tell your friends that this podcast is happening, then it's a lot of fun. Also, if you like what we're doing, we do have a podcast for the rest of the year, John and I, called 9to5 Entertainment System that we do with the other founders of the sites, Scott and Sophie, and we also have another podcast that we do through the rest of the year called Go Plug Yourself, for myself and Walter J. Ling, talk to people that have interesting stuff coming up in Montreal. So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're on both of them. If you see us at the festival, come say hey, and keep listening and keep enjoying the show. We're going to try to keep having episodes pretty much on a daily basis. Fantasia has been so great so far, so I'm done. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.